Okay. So I just want to wrap up the Sugya on Ayin Beis Amud Beis and move on. We'll start a little bit on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. And then I asked somebody who will remain nameless to just tally up the chesed of what we should do if in the future this month. I don't know what the answer is, whatever it is it is. Okay, so we were talking about Ha'over al Das Yehudis. So we had another case of Vitova Bashuk. I don't know exactly how you pronounce it, Vitavua Bashuk. So what does that mean? She was spinning in the marketplace. Usually Lashon Tviya, it's like when you talk about tzitzis, they have to have Tviya Lishma, you know, your machloks are poskim, whether or not the tzitzis should be spun the shame mitzvah. Have you ever seen how they do that? The old days, mamish, like when they used to spin each individual thread, they used to take a weight, put it on the end of the bunch of wool strands together, and they'd spin the weight, and it would spin the whole thread. So that was obviously done by, you know, Avodas Yad, and if you do it l'shem mitzvah, fine. Nowadays they have a big machine that will do it for you. So sometimes in the frum tzitzis factories, they'll disable the. It basically has a ton of threads, and then the machine spins them in a huge spinning motion. It'll spin tons and tons of threads together. So what they'll do is they'll disable the electric arm and they'll spin it by hand. That's also considered Avodas Yad, obviously. But for in this case, what does spinning have to do with in the shuk, right? So what does that have to do with a woman being over Adas Yehudis? So Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel b'mariz ro'osel evnei odam. She exposes her arms to men. I assume what this means is that she spins in such a way that her arms become uncovered. I'm not 100% sure, but I assume that's what it means. And Rav Chisda Amar Avimi b'tava verid kineged panel, right? She spins a verud or a verid, right? Usually we translate a verid as a rose, modern Hebrew. Kineged panel, in front of her face, or you know, adjacent to her face. So Rashi, there's basically three interpretations that I'm aware of in the Rishonim here. You have Rashi. Tosos quoting Rabbeinu Chanan on the Rambam. Rashi is one mahalach, Rabbeinu Chanan and the Rambam are a similar mahalach on the other direction. Rashi, I'm not exactly sure how to read the Rashi, but I think what the message is pretty clear. So tava verid kineged panel. Rashi says tava bekapa al yirecha v'chut misradid kineged paneha shalmata. So she would somehow she would spin while holding on to her thigh. And I guess she was holding her garment down, like, you know that famous movie, or Base Matters, I don't want to say it. But Lamaisa, there's a famous pose that a famous Prutza did one time when you know, got taken and made into posters in terms of holding down her dress. So I assume it's something like that. But it says, Paneha doesn't mean Paneha. Her face, it refers to Paneha Shalmata. Sometimes Chazal use a Lashon Ma'alya to describe the Makam Erva, so they refer to that as Paneha. So somehow she puts on a very promiscuous pose, and somehow there's some type of a chut misradeh kineged Paneha Shalmata. Some type of the string that heightens her Makam Erva, that people are staring at her from the way that she's posing. And it basically just means she's posing very promiscuously to get people to stare at her makam erva. Tosas does not learn that way. He seems to say that paneha means regular face. Right? Tosas in top Tosas quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, Pirush tavua vered semer adom. What does it mean? A rose? It means that a woolen thread, a red bendel, if you will. He tava sheyipo al paneha, right? And mas hari. Masharuriso, right, and it would somehow light it up, Zohar, would light up her face when there was this red thread that would fall down next to her face. It would like light up her face, and it would cause people to stare at her face. And even though staring at somebody's face on your own is not the end of the world, it's not a makam amachusa, right? But he says vizel azus meitzachu pritzus. This is brazen pritzus. This is like. You know, this is a chutzpah on her part that she acts in such a way that she's like, look at me, look at me, look at me. Even though the face is not a makam al-chus shebeguf, there's no isser to walk around with your face uncovered. But on the other hand, there's also no heter to walk around in a way that's trying to get people to stare at you. And therefore, it's a little bit of a violation of preetus, not daraisa, but it's considered overis al das yehudis. And similarly, we find in the Rambam, see if I can get it quickly. Otherwise, the Rambam says something very similar. He takes the word verit literally, talking about an actual rose, and he says that this Rambam is in the same place as all the other Rambams I've been quoting. That's in Perek Chaf Dalet in Hilchos Ishus, Halacha Yud Beis. And he says the second to last thing, he says, "Oh, shehoisa tavua b'shuk verit." She would somehow spin this thread, right, or something similar to it, you know, next to her face, right, either on her forehead or on her cheek, right? That's how they would walk around. They would adorn themselves with something that would, like, make people do a double take. Like, why? What? She has a rose on her face? Like, it was a way of attracting attention. It was a way of getting people to look at her and do a double take to make, you know, to see what's going on. And that was a way of attracting the stares of other men. And that's considered grounds for divorce without a ksuba. So this is the violation of Das Yehudis that we're referring to over here. So obviously you see the Rambam and Rabbeinu Hananel are very similar. And on the other hand, you have Shitas Rashi, which is seemingly much more promiscuous than what the Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rambam are talking about. Right, so I thought when I saw this Gemara a while back, I thought that, you know, there's a lot of talk in a lot of modern books. They talk about tznius and things like that. And one of the things, they're against a lot of things, you know, depending on which books you buy. There is a particular book that somebody put out, which is like, goes into detail of literally every little kutso shel yud that a woman might ever have a havamina to wear. It's like the Shulchan Aruch of a women's dress, forgetting about the halachas involved and the ashkavas. It's like a Shulchan Aruch just in terms of what types of clothing women wear. Like, I'm reading it and I'm like, I don't know what that is, I don't know what that is, I don't know that. I'm just like, okay, whatever. You know, it's an interesting book. It's a Mali Chumris Karimon. And one of the things he talks about is the, I think you may even use Zeloshin, the evil of slits. Right, the evil of a woman having a slit in her dress. And he's talking about, let's say you have a situation, even when a woman's legs are covered with socks or stockings or whatever, and even if the slit doesn't go past the makom samachusin, meaning if she would have a skirt, that would be way past the knee, that would be fine. Right, but now she has a skirt that mamish goes down to her ankles, and there's a slit that goes up, let's say, 3 inches. So they're saying that's already Gilei Resh, Vichz Dama, Budizar, all rolled up into one. So what's the pshat? So it's not, all right, Stam, you know, the problem is that people lose their credibility when they write a book and it's so many chumras, al-gabi chumras, al-gabi chumras, so you stop paying attention after a while. But this one, Tak, I think, has a lot of merit based on this Gemara, based on the way Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel are learning, based on the way Rambam and Rabbeinu Hananel are learning here. What are we talking about? We're talking about something which is designed to get people to do a double take. Something which is, which is designed to attract attention. So if, even if the dress is such that it's completely covering the makom samachusos and therefore it's I'm saying this halacha v'lola maisa. I'm not saying that this is definitely you should ask your local rav for whatever they think the halacha is. I'm not what? Of course, I'm saying, or before you throw your esrog at somebody who is, I don't know, whatever. I'm saying, like, so lemaisa, something which is designed to get people to do a double take, even if it's, you know, something which still covers all the makom samachusa in a woman, might be something which is considered preetzus, might be something which, so this is a situation where if it was just a straight situation, then nobody would do a double take. No, no, no. Like, I wonder what that is. Oh, not disappointed. It still covers what it's supposed to cover, you know. But lemaisa, if it's something which has a havamina that it's not, and therefore people are looking, and then so even if lemaskana it is covering, but it's designed to give off that havamina, and therefore once you give people the havamina, they look to see what's going on. And then already you're in violation a little bit of this this the Rabbanandik paritzus. Yeah.
I mean, like, does the Shulchan Aruch say that it's like also for like women to like wear the color red, even though like it'll cover up?
There is a shiloh with wearing the color red. I actually wanted to research it a little bit better. I had a sefer at home. I had this other book at home also that I was looking in, but it doesn't do much by way of actual makaris. He has some, but I had another sefer that has more makaris that are, you know, more grounded. And but whatever, lav dafka, I'm saying there are. Rav Moshe writes derech agav in a tshuva. Rav Moshe writes derech agav in a tshuva about wearing red, saying that it's a low level of attention grabbing behavior. If you want to know where the tshuva is, it's a tshuva about something totally different. It's a tshuva about wearing Americanized clothing versus European clothing. Is there an issue of chukas akum? And he gets into the different svaras in terms of the Ran versus the Maharik. You ever, this summer, Yemistama do the topic in depth of chukas akum. So I'll save it. You know, you'll save it for then. But Lamaisa, the Maharik has a shita that's in addition to the shita of the Ran. If you're doing it A to try to copy non-Jews, or B to try to copy, even if it's not copying the non-Jews mamish, but it's a derech pritzus that the non-Jews have that's sort of rubbing off on the Jewish community. So he says, what about? Now, so he gives an example on the side that there's an inyan of wearing red clothing. That's a, he calls it, Moshe refers to it as a nidnud pritzus. A shtickle, whatever, a little bit of pritzus, but it's not like the same madrega. I don't know. Halacha l'maaseh, it definitely used to be considered something which was much more pritzistic, and now people just wear it like they wear other colors. So I don't know. I don't know what the official word is. If you remind me, I meant to look into that a little bit better. I also meant to look into your pants shayla a little bit better. Rav Ovadia Yosef has a long tshuva about, was that you? Some kind of fancy big pants. Right. No, Rav Ovadia Yosef actually has a very long tshuva about, tsunua pants versus preachistic skirts. He seems to think that it's better to wear the pants, but I didn't read it so carefully. I would like to look into it a little bit better. Yeah.
And even with the slits, I mean, that is that causing attention more to the, like, maybe her legs instead of like Malcolm Erva?
For sure. No, there's no comparison between a Rashi saying and what I'm talking about, saying there's no comparison. Rashi is definitely saying, being more machmir. I don't think you could come up with the chumrah with the slits according to Rashi. I think it only makes sense according to the Rambam and Rabbeinu Hananel, who are talking about bringing attention to makomos hamagulos. In other words, these are makomos hamagulos. These aren't things that normally, if you're walking down the street and you see somebody and they say good morning, and you say good morning, and you look at her face, that's not an issue at all. Right? But unless you mamish being mistako kadei lehanos, even if it's a makomos hamagulin, then it's a problem, and that's, I think, what these poskim who asked the slits are referring to. That it's designed dafka to grab the attention by the flashing and the changing of the normal way of walking, in terms of people see different things. They look to see, oh, what's going on over there, and then whether it turns out to be real erva or whether it's just a tease. So Lamaisa, it's not what they had in mind. Again, I'm not saying this Lamaisa. I'm just saying that perhaps this is the makor for what those poskim are referring to. Okay, let's go a little further. So we have a discussion also about a kolanis, a loud lady. What does that mean? She's loud. So my kolanis, the Gemara says, "I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul ben Mashmas Kola al Iske Tashmish." She lets her voice be heard regarding matters of Tashmish. Right? So what does that mean? And the Gemara rejects the second pshat in favor of this pshat. So Rashi here has a pshat. It says, Kishemedaber imal iske ona, if the husband brings up the mitzvah of ona, meriva imo umashma'as l'shchenav hu bosh bedavar. She argues with him about it. I'm not sure exactly what the argument is concerning, but she yells at him with something related to the mitzvah of Ona, and when she's yelling at him, the neighbors hear, and they know exactly what she's yelling about, and that embarrasses the husband a great deal. That seems to be how Rashi's learning. However, again, if you look in the Rambam, and this is also the Lashon of the Rambam is what's quoted in Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Tezvav, you know, in Ibn Ezer. The Rambam also in Halacha Yud Beis that we mentioned before, it says, what else did she do wrong? O shehoisa tovas hatashmish mi baila bekol rum ad sheshchunosea shomososa medaberes al iske tashmish. So the Rambam says Pashup Shat in the Gemara, not like Rashi, right? Rambam says Pashup Shat in the Gemara. She's talking about Inyane Tashmish and she's talking a little too loudly. Or Lavdafka loudly. She's talking about it openly so that other people can hear about it. Right, we know there's the famous the Ramah. I think the Ramah is in Kuf Tzadi Zayin in Hilchas Nida in Yeridaya that talks quotes from the Sefer Rokeach that when a woman goes to the mikveh, she's supposed to be very keep it on the down low, as they say. You know that there are major discussions in the poskim. Let's say a woman is in a situation where people are bound to find out that she's going to the mikveh. So what's one supposed to do? And there are various heterim given, to try to conceal the matter. Based on the words of the Rishonim, it's not the issue that going to the mikveh is such a crazy thing. It's not the going to the mikveh part. It's that everybody understands that the mitzvah on Leil Tevila is to be mishamish mitaso, and therefore, Inyani Tashmish is supposed to be dvarim shebeino leveino, and nobody else is supposed to be know about it. And that's so. Here also, the Rambam is just saying the pashup shat in the Gemara that it's talking about, and she's talking about Inyani Tashmish in public or too loudly to the point that the neighbors know exactly what's going on with their personal lives. And that's not acceptable, and therefore she's Yotze Shelo B'Ksuva. But the kasha is really on Rashi. Why does Rashi choose to learn Shelo Kipshuto? Who mentioned fighting in the Gemara? The Gemara never said anything about them having an argument. The Gemara said that she's Medaberes Al Iskei Tashmish. Right, so why is it that Rashi has to bring in an issue of arguing, an issue of some type of marital strife? So I thought, again, Vitoris Efsher, not definitely what the pshat is, but I thought maybe you could explain, based on what we said, I believe last week, I think it was last Monday, maybe it was last two Thursdays ago, I'm not sure, there's a discussion in terms of why she's Yotze Shelo B'Ksuva, right? Is it because she's responsible, Dafka, for breaking up the marriage? Or, we wanted to say, maybe the pshat is that it's some kind of a knas, right? That since she acted in such a way, either she was machshel him in such a way, or she herself acted in such a way, so we put a knas on her, and we therefore say that she leaves without a ksuva. And we said, maybe that was a machlokas rishonim, because we pointed to a tshuva sarambam, which seemed to indicate that even when he was violating the same isurim, that she loses her ksuva, because we don't want to be shelo yehi chote niskar, right? And we pointed out that matches up with the Rambam's lashon in the Mishnah Torah, that it seems to be some sort of a knas on the isha. So maybe you could say, so too here, that what are we worried about? That bein ish leishta, there's supposed to be some level of tznius, right? So since she's in violation of the elementary laws of tznius, either on a das Moshe level or a das Yehudis level, therefore we put a knas on her when she says she's yotzei shelo b'ksuva. That's the Rambam's way. So the Rambam is able to learn this Gemara Kipshuta when she's talking aliski tashmish, so that the whole world can hear. That's keneged adin. You're not supposed to talk about these things so that the whole world can hear. And therefore, we put a knas on her and we say she's yotzei shelo b'ksuva. Mashenkin, according to Rashi, Rashi doesn't learn that it's a din and a knas, right? Rather, Rashi is saying that it's a din that she was responsible for breaking up the marriage. So how is she responsible for breaking up the marriage? So if you look at all the times where it's Overis al Das Yehudis, what are we talking about here? We're talking about a case where she's Yotzev Rosh HaParua, and she's Tava Bashuk, and she's Medaberesim Kol Adam, right? And what else is she doing? She's, and that's the second Talism. The Kalelis Yoloda Bafana, that's something else. And now we have this case over here that she's a Kolanis, that she's Medaberes al Iskei Tashmish. So how does that break up the marriage? How does that break up the marriage that she's doing all these things? What do you think? She's embarrassing him? All these things. If you have a wife, she's Yotzev Zerosel Megulos. It's not nice. It could be very embarrassing if the guy considers himself to be a frum guy and here his wife is acting like a little bit of a prutza. So that is embarrassing to the husband. That's fair. But more than that. Yeah?
Since, he's a frum guy, he gets angry with her that she
Yeah, but it's the same word. I think you're saying the same thing, Lamaisa, yeah.
People are gonna like recognize it and need to start, you know.
No, that's all the same out. But I'm saying you could also say there's another possibility that since she's acting in such a non-sanua way, so there's a chashash nus here. There's a chashash that she's being mizana. Right? Like you guys know the Mishnah later on, earlier on Daf Yud Gimel, we're talking about Ra'ua Midaberes. Yeah, we see her, she's schmoozing with this. What do you mean she's schmoozing with this guy? I mean, it's clear. What are you doing schmoozing with this guy day in, day out? Obviously, there's some type of an affair going on over here. Right? So similarly, she's schmoozing with all the Bakram on the street. She's posing in a priestess-dick way. She's doing all these things. You're talking about a chashash nus. So the husband is scared to stay with her because he has a chashash. He doesn't have kili and stira. He doesn't have any type of edus. But he has raglayim ledavar that there's a chance that even if she's not being mizana currently, there's a good chashash that shortly in the future she's going to be mizana and she's going to be asurlo. And therefore, he wants to be motzi her shalobik suva because he doesn't want to live with her be'iser after it's too late already and she's been mizana for a week, a month, a year, and then he finally puts two and two together. So let him put two and two together now and divorce her while he still has time. Aye, so maybe he should have to pay her the ksuva. No, the chiddush of the Mishnah is he doesn't have to pay her the ksuva. If she is giving him grounds for a chashash that she's being mizana, so he doesn't have to pay the ksuva when he divorces her. And l'chora, that's all of these tznius violations are lav dafka referring to cases where she's just violating certain dinim and therefore he can divorce her. It's not because she's violating dinim. As we pointed out before, if she herself was eating non-kosher, that's also a major violation of the din. It's violating the dinim which caused the marriage to break up. So then Rashi reads the last case. Rashi reads the last case of a kolanis. What's the kolanis case? She's talking to him, aliske tashmir, say, that's not a very tsanua way to behave. But that's not grounds for a chashash znus. Right? She's talking to him about iske tashmish. She's not talking to some other guy about iske tashmish. And therefore, Rashi doesn't understand how that fits into the big picture. He says, how could this fit in to cases where there's a chashash znus? So Rashi says, ein achinami, this is not a case of chashash znus. What is it? It's a case where he can no longer stay with her as a husband. Why? Because she's embarrassing him publicly in this way. She's embarrassing him publicly in this way because she's arguing with him about Inyani Tashmish to the extent that the neighbors are getting involved and they hear this fighting, and not just any kind of fighting, but fighting about things which, even if you're going to argue about them, you certainly shouldn't argue about them in public, and you shouldn't argue about them so that the neighbors can hear. And therefore, it's just another example of her making it impossible for the two of them to live together. Lav dafka, that it's, since she's acting like such a prutza, so we stick it to her. It's not an issue of sticking it to her. It's an issue that she's breaking up the marriage by acting in a way that's impossible for the two of them to stay together. But what happened was, is Rashi saw that this case didn't line up with all the other cases. Right? It's not stam. Because if you want to say the pshat is that in all these cases she's just embarrassing him. Right? So in Achinami, you could also say that she's embarrassing him by talking about Iske Tashmish out loud. She's acting, in other words, if it was as simple as she wasn't acting like such a tznua, and that's embarrassing to him, so then also over here, Rashi could have just learned Kipshuto and said that she wasn't speaking like a tznua, and that embarrasses him as well, and therefore he has the right to divorce her without a ksuba. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says it was dafka in a way that was a fight, it was fighting. He learns it differently than every other case. So that's why I wanted to say maybe that the pshad and all the other cases that we're talking about a chashash nus that breaks up the marriage. Mashenkin here, there is no chashash nus that can come with it. So here, Dafka plays it up to say that there was an additional level of embarrassment that was going on above and beyond that, is just that his wife wasn't so frum. You understand? Because in all the other ones, you also could have learned that his wife wasn't so frum. Yeah.
I think it's a little bit of a stretch, but I think you could say that Rashi should have said like what the Rambam says, because if the fact that she is talking about znus so like nonchalantly, that means that she's been, I guess, desensitized to it. Right? What does that mean? That she's talking about znus out loud? That she doesn't care what people, you know?
Right. That's how the Rambam learns. That she's just acting like a prutza, memela, acting like a prutza. We put a knas on her and we say if he wants a divorce, or we can divorce her without a ksuva. But Rashi doesn't learn that it's a din that she's acting like a prutza. He says it's because she's breaking up the marriage. So if you say she's breaking up the marriage just by embarrassing him, so then why does he have to learn that Gemara Shalok Kipshuto? Let him just learn it the same way. She's not dressing properly. she's not acting properly. And Mamela, he's embarrassed to be with such a wife. So then he would have just learned Pashup Shad. And Kolanis means that she's talking about Inyanim Shebeino Lebeino out loud so the neighbors could hear. But he doesn't say that. You understand what I'm saying? That's why I wanted to learn this way. Yeah.
Can you say that when she's in Merivo Emo, she's basically saying, I don't want to, and therefore that's why I'm getting the Shad Shinos? And the neighbors hear that she doesn't really, whatever, that they're having those kind of issues.
I can't say for sure not, but that's definitely not the impression that I get, that since she's arguing with him, it doesn't say what they're arguing about even.
I was saying, what argument would lead to his embarrassment? That would be something that negative for him, not just an argument.
I don't know. I'm not sure what the argument that Rashi's referring to is about. I don't know. I don't want to put too many words in Rashi's mouth and like define everything exactly, because it could be the opposite, you know? Yeah.
We were saying that it seems like Hira in Das Moshe and Das Yudis, that's either about breaking the marriage. Like when we said that's like Hira...
Right, the Rush wanted to say that in the case of Das Yehudis, that was really like a knas for acting like a prutza. But Lav Dafka, that's the only way you could learn it. You could learn it down the line. That even the cases of Das Yehudis, by and large, are about him making it impossible for him to live with her. Well, certainly when she's cursing his children, that's what it is. It's impossible. How could I be in the same room with somebody who's talking badly about my children, you know? You know, same idea. That Rashi's learning that it's all cases where it's making it impossible for the two of them to coexist.
But the Rosh himself says that Das Yehudis would be a Knas?
The Lashon of the Rosh, I'm not sure, I'll read you the Lashon. Avalim Hoysel Verz B'Sharaveyos Kigon Shehi Atzma Ochla Dover Yisr Loiv Sida Ksuvasa period. V'Das Yehudis Mishim Chatzifusa U'Mishim Chashad Znus Hu D'Maf Sida. So he covers all his bases. He says, it's because she's acting like a prutza, and also because there's chashash nus involved. So he's saying it's both dinim. Right? He's covering everything we said. He says not like the way I'm explaining Rashi, more like the way I'm explaining the Rambam, but also throws in chashash nus. So it's hard to say based on the Rush, like either of these exact pshatim. I'm using all the Rush's variables. I'm just not. I'm not saying the way the Rush said, because he's very unclear in terms of what applies to what.
But we still want to apply that same here by Das Moshe to this one over here.
I think you could. That's what you can do. I think that's how you can explain why Rashi Dafka takes this one case and learns it so differently than all the other cases. Okay. All right. That's enough with that particular topic. You just want to get started. There's a lot to talk about. I'm not sure how much we're actually going to do. In the famous chazaka of Ein Adam Bi Ose Bi Ilaso Bi Ilas Znus. In the next Mishnah, we have a discussion on going over to Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Hamekadish Yisa Isha Amenas She'ein Aleh Nedarim V'Nimtzu Aleh Nedarim Ein Amekudeshes Konsa Stam V'Nimtzu Aleh Nedarim Teitzei Shelo B'Ksuva. Right? And then they say the same thing with Mumin. Right? So here we have the statement of Rav on the second to last line of the Gemara, Ramachlokis Rav and Shmuel. Itmar, kitchal tnai v'konsa stam. Rav omer tzrichei menaget, v'shmuel omer ena tzrichei menaget. So omer abai, lo tema taimei de Rav, kevin shekonsa stam, achulei achal achlei letnoi. Right, don't say that Rav is saying that the reason she needs a get is that when he was konsa stam, he was mochel on his original tnai, and therefore the original kiddushin was a good kiddushin, and the nisuin is a good nisuin. I'm trying my hardest not to get involved in machlokas Rashi Tosfos this minute. We may come back to that. Ella taima derav lefi she'adam she'ein adam ose be'ilaso be'ilas znus. Right. The reason is that ein adam ose be'ilaso be'ilas znus, and therefore, I'm gonna have to hold here in a minute. We assume that when he was boel her, he was boel her l'shem kiddushin. I think that's the simplest way to learn Rashi, without getting involved too much in the machlokas Rashi tells us regarding what to do about the ksuva. But since he was konsa stam, or konsa at all, and he had beer with her, we say, ein adam osa bilaso bilaznos. Let me just mention that there is a parallel sugya where they use this chazak. And it's in the Masoros HaShas here also. There's a mishnah in Maseches Gittin, in the 8th parak, I believe, right? So there's a Mishnah in Maseches Gittin which talks about Hamagaris Ish Ishto Vilon Ima Bapundiki. That there is the guy who divorces his wife, and then on the way home from the divorce, I don't know, he went to find her after the divorce, and Lon Ima Bapundiki, he quotes in the Maseches Shas, a Mishnah on Peyal from the base. In that case, they sleep in the same room. Then you have machlokas b'shamay b'shila whether they need another get, right? So according to Beis Shammai, they don't need another get. And according to Beis Hillel, they need another get. Sof kol sof, the Gemara has a conclusion over there that the Beis Hillel is based on two concepts. Beis Hillel is based on the first concept of our chazaka, ena the mosa bilaso bilasnus. So we assume the fact that they slept in the same room together, and it was a case of libo gaspa. Libo gaspa means that they were more than familiar with one another, right? In general, there are different halachas for a man and a woman that's libo gaspa and that's ain't libo gaspa, right? For example, for Hilchas Yichud, right? You're familiar with this din in Hilchas Yichud that there's a heter we call baila be'ir, right? That if the husband is in the same area, leaving out whatever that means, if the husband is in the same vicinity as the wife and the wife is at home, another man comes over to the house, then there's no iser yichud. She's allowed to lock the door. And the fact that her husband is in the area is enough of a heter. It's considered a shmira that there's no iser yichud. However, in a case, the Gemara says it's beferish at the very end of Kiddushin, if it's a case of libo gaspa, if it's a case where the man and the woman are familiar with one another, either they're family friends or they're distant relatives or something like that, so then the heter of baila be'ir doesn't apply. So to here we talk about libo gaspa. So then we say two things. Number one, we assume they had bia, and we say ein adam oseh bi'ilaso bi'ilas nus. That if we assume they had bia with one another, a man is not going to want to make his bia into a bia's nus, and therefore he was gomer uboal l'shem kiddushin. And number two, we say hein hein ede yichud hein hein ede bia. Since it was a case of libo gaspa. So we're talking about a case where all you need is a yichud to assume that that's good enough that they had bia, and it's considered that they had a day kiddushin on the maisa bia. If it's not a case of libo gaspa, if you don't have adim that they actually had bia, then it's not good enough. So what I want to discuss next time is the question that the post can bring up, even dating back to the late Rishonim, the famous Tshuvas HaRivosh, regarding civil marriages or non-Jewish marriages among Jews. Can we say that a woman who was involved in a non-Jewish marriage with a Jewish man requires a get because of this gemara of the ein adam oseh bilaso bilas nus and the din of hein hein ede yichud hein ede bia? So next Hashem, we'll talk about that next time.